In the 20th century in Great Britain, the name Malcolm Muggeridge would have been as familiar to people there as names like David Letterman, Stephen Colbert are to us. And in December of 1982, Time magazine had the following article about Malcolm Muggeridge. It said, "Malcolm Muggeridge, once an atheist, a career journalist, at one time hearty drinker and womanizer, at the age of 79, surrendered his will to the Lord. This gadfly of British letters, an elegant peddler of words, gathered up his contradictions and beliefs, and in November of 1982, marched down to the small chapel of Hurst Green in Sussex. And with his wife, he became a member of the Roman Catholic Church. His decision to convert was inspired in part by the life and witness of Mother Teresa. Commenting on this experience, the mellowed old iconoclast, an iconoclast is someone who destroys religious images. So this mellowed old iconoclast said there was, quote, a sense of homecoming, of picking up the threads of a lost life, of responding to a bell that had long been ringing, of finding my place at the table that had long been vacant. I came across Muggeridge's vivid prose as I was studying our readings from Samuel and the Gospel of John for this week. For you see, the Samuel story, the Gospel story, are stories of invitation. They are stories of a bell that is ringing, a bell that is to be responded to. Samuel's call is one of the most beautiful stories of the Old Testament. If people know an Old Testament story, they know this story of Samuel. They know stories like David and Goliath. And what makes this story so beautiful is when you know the backstory about Samuel's mother, Hannah, who had been barren for a number of years. She prays to the Lord and says, "Lord, if I can conceive, my son will be to you a Nazarite." A Nazarite was a Jewish boy who was consecrated to the Lord. And so after Samuel is born, indeed, Hannah gives her son to the Lord and entrusts him to the priest, Eli. And this story, as I looked at it this week, I discovered through my commentaries, there is a subtle play on words. It's actually a pun. For you see, the name Samuel means one who hears God. And the name Eli means my God. El is a Hebrew word for God, and I is a Hebrew word for my. So Eli's name means my God, and Samuel's name means one who hears God. So here's the fun play on words that's going on. Samuel, who hears God, but he thinks he hears Eli. So he goes back to Eli and says, "My God." And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." He goes back to bed a second time. The one who hears God thinks he hears God, and he goes to Eli, "My God," and he says, "My God, did you call?" And he said, "No, I didn't call. Go back to bed." And then the third time, he gets up and he goes to my God, and he says, "Eli," and Eli goes, "My God," because he realizes it is my God who is speaking. And so he says now to Samuel, "Go back to bed." And when my God, when the true Eli speaks, say, "Lord, your servant is listening." And that's the funny side of the Hebrew Bible. Isn't this a beautiful story? It speaks of this boy's receptivity to the Lord, his willingness to live a life where he responds to the bell and says yes. And then we had, as the last verse of our Samuel reading, we jump a number of verses, and so now Samuel is growing up. And the writer encapsulates Samuel's life with this beautiful phrase, "As Samuel grew up, The Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? The Lord was with him. Because you see, Samuel was someone who said, Lord, I want to hear you. And then God honored Samuel's words. Now, did you notice something in that reading, though? That before Samuel knew the Lord, and before the word of God had been revealed to Samuel, Samuel hears the call. This is kind of like Malcolm Muggeridge. The bell for Malcolm Muggeridge had long been ringing. And unlike Samuel, he didn't respond right away. Eli had the perception to be able to point Samuel to where he needed to go. For Malcolm Muggeridge, he was almost an octogenarian, that is 80 years old, before he said, I hear the bell, and I'm going to respond to it. And those words that he wrote are so beautiful, I'm going to read them again. There was a sense of homecoming, a picking up of the threads of a lost life, of responding to a bell that had long been ringing, of finding a place at the table that had long been vacant. This was Muggeridge's way of saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I remember it in my life. I was baptized in August of 1960. I don't remember that. I was only 7 months old. But what I remember was it wasn't until I was 22 that I truly began to appropriate my baptism. For in a cold February in Montreal, where I lived, as a young man of 22, on a Thursday morning, I experienced my heart being warmed by a love that has never let me go. The bell had been ringing in my life for a long time, but on that day, I began to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And to a greater or lesser degree, sometimes more faithfully, sometimes less so, since I was 22 and I'm now 57, it has been my desire to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. How about in your life? Can you resonate with what I'm saying? Can you think of a time when that bell was ringing and God got your attention? Maybe it had been ringing for a long time and you'd been ignoring it, but on that day, at that time, you remembered and said, yes, this has made a difference to my life. The threads of my life begin to come together. And I found my place at the table of the Lord. Never lose that memory. For you see, there's so much in life's experience that can, in turn, deaden the sense of call. We lose the vitality of that earlier time when we heard the invitation clearly. For you see, we're disappointed by ourselves, we're disappointed by our families, we're disappointed by the world, we're disappointed by the church. Disappointment can lead to a deadening of the soul. But if we are able to be a people who says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, we can be rejuvenated to be alive. Maybe there are some of you here today. If you're honest with yourself, you recognize that the bell's been ringing and I haven't yet actually responded to its invitation. Today is that day to be able to come intentionally to the Lord in the Eucharist and say, Jesus, I respond to your call. And today I want to learn to pray, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. I want to learn to live my life in such a way that I am attentive to you. But you see, it's not just a question of responding to the bell. It's about then learning to orientate our lives in a different way. And that's what today's gospel teaches us. Here we see Andrew, the brother of Simon, with another apostle or disciple of St. John the Baptist. We believe it's St. John the Evangelist. And so before they are disciples of Jesus, they are disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has been preparing them for this minute when he says, behold the Lamb of God. And from that moment on, Andrew and St. John the Evangelist move their allegiance away from John the Baptist to Jesus. And then there's this interesting conversation that goes on. Jesus asks of them, what do you want? And then they respond in a very Jewish way by asking another question. They don't answer Jesus's question. They then say, Lord, where are you staying? Doesn't that seem weird? Like, what do you want? Where are you staying? What's the connection? Well, when you understand the Greek word for staying, it's this little word, four letters long, spelled M-E-N-O. The word is meno. And the word meno means to remain, to abide. And so what the apostles are asking is, Jesus, where are you abiding? Where are you remaining? And if you know the Gospel of St. John, this word to abide, to remain, is one of the key words in the Gospel of John. And so what John is doing at the beginning here is he's inviting us to recognize that to ask that question, Jesus, where are you staying? Where are you remaining? Where are you abiding? Is central to responding to the bell and then to live our life in a new way. Do you remember what Jesus says in John 6? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you cannot have a part of me, or you cannot remain in me. And so one of the things that we want to appreciate as Catholic Christians is the Gospel of John celebrates at its very beginning this invitation that as we want to live responding to the call of Jesus, we want to remain in him, to abide in him. You see, and this is the thing that happens in the life of those who truly take Jesus at his word. In becoming a follower of Christ, we become people who not only say that he is the Lamb of God, but he is the one who orients my life, gives it direction and purpose and significance. There's a beautiful theme in John's Gospel that speaks about how Jesus abides in the bosom of the Father. But then there is, as you might know, the beloved disciple in John is John the Evangelist. And repeatedly, we have this vision of John the Evangelist resting on Jesus' bosom. It's such a beautiful image of how John, understanding the meaning of this word meno, to remain, then in writing his gospel, presents himself as doing that very thing. Isn't it beautiful when you might have your daughter, your son, if you're a mother, father, having coming and just resting against your shoulder, leaning into you? To remain in Jesus means that we want to lean into him. We want to abide in him. Because as Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you cannot bear fruit. But if we do remain in him, oh, what a difference it makes. There was a not very well-known church father of the 5th century named St. Basil of Seleucia. And in commenting on today's gospel, he uses this beautiful language. Let me read it to you. Having recognized the prophet foretold by the prophets, Andrew led his brother Simon to the one he had found. To Peter, who was still in ignorance. You see, Peter was like Samuel. He did not yet know Jesus, but the bell was ringing. And when that bell was ringing, as the saint says, he quotes, we have found the Messiah for whom we were longing. Now listen to this next verse. How many sleepless nights we spent beside the waters of the Jordan. And now we have found the one for whom our heart longs. Sleepless nights beside the Jordan. But now we found him. St. Basil's image, his language is so beautiful. And I think this is another way to say what Malcolm Muggeridge said, that he had been by the waters of the Jordan for so long, and now he found the one for whom his heart had longed. He took his place at the table. May you and I discover more deeply the riches of those that belong to Jesus because we believe in Jesus. And may we remain in him as we pray. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We are responding. Responding to the bell that has long been ringing.